You've heard me talk many times about moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Today, I want to share with you why we must have a revolution. Oh, I'm serious.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was unpacking books from some book boxes that I had, putting them on shelves that had just been put up as we moved from one location to another. And as I was taking these books out, book after book, about cultural change, about moral change, about transformation through the gospel, about revolutionary movements in history, I was charged again. Something ignited afresh in my own heart. And I said to myself, I am not called to be a maintainer of the status quo. I am not called to just comfort everybody and say everything's okay. Let's just smile and have a good time. No, I am called to be a revolutionary in the Jesus spirit, not in the spirit that is primarily political, not in the spirit that is trying to force change on people, not in the spirit that uses anger or intimidation or hatred or violence or rebellion, God forbid. No, a much deeper form of revolution, a Jesus kind of revolution, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, going against the grain of society based on the principles of Jesus, shining like lights in dark places until the nation is rocked. Friends, that's what I live for. And that's a major purpose of this broadcast. Yes, to be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. I want to fine-tune this for you today. I want to speak with some urgency. I want to encourage you that as we give ourselves over to God, He is with us and His kingdom is advancing in the earth. And the gates of hell themselves will not prevail against the church, the congregation that Jesus is assembling and Jesus is building. We simply must wake up to reality. We need revolution, and we need it now. Here's the number to call where you can weigh in. You can differ with me, or you can say and sound your amen. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Or on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. All right. Let me share some things that I wrote back in 1991. This is the preface to my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which asks the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? Now, it's not just addressing charismatic issues. It's addressing some larger issues. So this from 1991, to give you some context. In the last few years, some fundamental truths have crystallized in my heart. First, the American church, both charismatic and non-charismatic, is tragically backslidden. Revival is our only hope. Second, the American gospel has departed in many key ways from the biblical gospel, producing defective conversions in a defective church. Third, to quote Oswald Chambers, if what we have is all the Christianity there is, the thing is a fraud. In fact, if God would have poured his spirit in the American church in our present compromised condition, it would be fatal. The Lord does want to move powerfully in our day, but there must be some radical changes first. While the American church celebrates, our beloved country sinks into lower and lower depths. We are not only killing unborn babies, but we have begun to kill helpless adults, actually starving them to death. It is claimed that some of them are in a persistent vegetative state. I believe it is the church that is in a persistent vegetative state. Will nothing awake us from our stupor? Again, I wrote this in 1991. I'm ashamed to think of the fact that Maryland, where my family and I now live at that time, has just passed the country's most liberal abortion law. I'm angered when I recall that New York City, where I was born, recently lit up the Empire State Building in lavender in honor of gay pride. I'm embarrassed when I consider that the spirit-filled church of which I'm a part has a reputation for carnality, flakiness, and exaggerated hype, a reputation largely deserved. I'm chastened when I read the results of a recent Roper poll indicating that most born-again believers have fallen into more sin after their conversion than before their conversion. Where is the purity of the gospel? Where are the true disciples? Where is the power of God?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I'm really serious about this. I'm really serious. I've been for many, many years about the need for radical revolution, starting in the church, and as the church has changed, spilling over into the society through the gospel. Look, I am grateful to be an American, but I'm not advocating for a violent revolution as when we went to war with Britain, the homeland, in the American Revolution. I'm not advocating that now. I'm talking about something that is spiritual. I'm talking about something that is cultural, by the gospel, by the power of God, by holy living, by prayer, by acts of mercy and compassion, by standing up for what is right. But friends, America was birthed in revolution, and we desperately need a revolution now. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. I'm going to tell you in a little while how you can get a copy of my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, for whatever you can afford today. We really do want to get this out to the maximum number of people. In fact, the day it was released, we gave away at a major rally in D.C. with several hundred thousand young people present. We gave away over 70,000 copies. Gave away $1 million retail of the book that first day. God provided funds. It was a sight to see. I'm thrilled to be able to do that. Okay. Let me again make myself as clear as I can. More of the same will only produce more of the same. And yet we continually think, okay, the next conference, okay, the next church meeting, okay, the next prayer meeting, okay, the next new teaching, all right, the new seminar, the things. No. More of the same is only going to produce more of the same. We will not see the radical changes that we desire without radical changes coming first in our lives, in our orientation, how we relate to God, how we relate to the world, what it means to us to be the church. And it's costly, friends. It's not just going to happen by snapping our fingers. You know, I made an amazing discovery years ago, an amazing discovery, that reading a diet book does not cause you to lose weight. Are you serious? Yeah, uh-huh. Reading a diet book does not cause you to lose weight. That's why America can have such a plague of obesity in our midst, hurting so many people, and yet diet books are best-selling books. In fact, you might eat more while reading the book, relaxing, have some extra popcorn or ice cream while sitting back and reading the book. And then you get the book, and if it's a sound book, it's basically going to tell you, adjust your lifestyle. Oh, well, that's going to cost me something. Exactly. Change will not come until we recognize that what we've been doing is not going to get the job done. You know the famous Albert Einstein quote that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and yet expecting different results. We do it in our churches. We do it in our personal lives. We do it as leaders. We do it as believers. And yet the handwriting is not just on the wall. Things have been shouting to us year after year after year. Now the loud shout coming from New York with the legalizing of same-sex marriage and all of the implications with that. The shout coming from California as the Senate has now passed SB 48, the gay education bill, and it's just awaiting Governor Brown's signature. In fact, let me just read this to you. There's an article on advocate.com. It's the flagship gay publication. There's a picture of a man in a clerical collar with another man marching a gay pride event. Beneath it, it says, images like this one of a 1979 gay rights march featuring the Reverend John Kuiper, a gay man who won a groundbreaking adoptions right case, could make it into California school books. In other words, he would become a hero. Following the state Senate's lead, the California Assembly Tuesday passed a bill that requires the contributions of gay people to be part of public school curricula. Sponsored by gay Senator Mark Leno, the Fair, Accurate, Inclusive, and Respectful Education Act, quote, ensures that the historical contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are accurately and fairly portrayed in instructional materials by adding LGBT people to the existing list of underrepresented cultural and ethnic groups already included in the state's inclusionary education requirements, according to Leno's office. The bill passed the Assembly by a vote of 49-25. It passed the Senate in April. It will now head to Governor Jerry Brown's desk. It's not clear where Brown stands on the bill, but he's generally supportive of gay rights and refused to defend Proposition 8 after the anti-gay initiative was declared unconstitutional by a federal judge. Should the bill become law, it would be years before California students are learning about Harvey Milk and Elaine Noble, and it goes on, everything that has to happen. But basically, you're talking about now you'd celebrate the Stonewall riots, the gay liberation movement. If someone was an important figure in American history and they happened to identify secretly as homosexual or lesbian, now that's going to be part of the history. Kids need to know, elementary school kids need to know that this famous figure was gay or lesbian or a cross-dresser, which is how you would identify someone transgender in years past. This is mandatory part of the kids' curriculum. No, you will not be able to opt out because you find it offensive. This is state law. This is mandatory. Of course, this is all allegedly to prevent bullying. In fact, it is indoctrinating kids. It is indoctrinating them into morals. It is indoctrinating them to say that sexual behavior and attraction and desire is the exact same thing as ethnicity or skin color. Oh, can't be bothered with that because we had a good church service last week. Praise the Lord. And, I still have my job. I mean, that's what really matters. I can provide for my family. And so things are okay here. And hey, we have good Bible studies in our home. You know what this reminds me of? And I'm glad you have your job. I would never belittle that. I know the financial pressure that's on families these days. And I'm glad if you had a good service at a church recently. That's just great. And I'm very thankful if you're having home Bible studies. That's terrific. That's part of us being a counterculture people and raising our kids up to be counterculture believers. But can I say this plainly? It reminds me a lot. The mentality that things are okay with me and therefore I don't have to think about radical changes, therefore I don't have to think about what the church needs to be a truly countercultural revolutionary movement raised up by Jesus, therefore I don't have to think about the cost of being a disciple in my own life and what that implies because things are okay. Reminds me of the famous statement of Reverend Martin Niemöller after the Nazis came for him. And he said, you know, when the Nazis came for the Jews, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Jew. And when they came for the communists, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a communist. And when they came for the trade unionists, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a trade unionist. When they finally came for me, it was too late. There was no one to speak up for me. Friends, can I remind you of Jeremiah, the 12th chapter? And look, I know that many of you are sitting and nodding as I'm speaking. I know it because you're listening to this show by choice. Maybe you just flipped on and I've got your interest. But everybody else, you're listening by choice. You're listening because you agree with me. Now, a few of you listen because you get really mad at me. And it just kind of makes your blood boil. That's okay. I'd love to have you out listening and feel free and tell me why you disagree. 866-34-TRUTH. But most of you are listening, the great majority, because you agree with me. Because you know something's wrong, because you know deep down that the status quo is not right. It's not biblical. The status quo in the church, the state of society is not the way it's supposed to be. We need to wake up. You say, well, what does it mean? It means first and foremost to recognize how wrong things are, to recognize how much things are missing, to turn to God earnestly and say, God, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to be your servant. I want to make a difference. I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. Last night, as I was putting some books out on my shelves and getting stirred afresh in my heart and saying, just deep down, the way God made me, what he called me to do, I'm a reformer. I'm one called to bring about change and to call others to help bring about change through the gospel, through the gospel. Others are called to do it through political means and other means. For me, it's gospel-based. It can come out in education, 100 different ways. Of course, it has political implications. But for me, it's ultimately all gospel-based. And I was just stirred to write. I'm starting a book called White Collar Christianity. That's a tentative name for it. And I wrote a chapter last night called Letter from a Frustrated Pew Sitter. And I know if I read some of this, you'd nod. You'd say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Friends, we must have a revolution. That means radical, dramatic, sweeping change. I would love to get a copy of my book, Revolution, The Call of the Holy War, into your hands. It's over 330 pages, but your gift of any size to the ministry, so in other words, whatever you can afford, your gift of any size to the ministry, we will send you this book. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. You know what's really blessed us is when we've done things like this, those of you who have more and are able to be generous, have made a generous contribution, that enables us to send books to people who have little or nothing. So here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Your contribution of any size will send this to you. Postage paid, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. I'm going to read some quotes to you from this book, but it'll stir your heart. We want to get it into your hands so that we can see the Jesus Revolution move forward in our day.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have you ever had one of those alarms that the longer it goes without you either hitting the snooze button or turning the thing off, it gets louder and faster and louder and faster and louder and faster? And you say, oh, it's bothering me. It's obnoxious. It disturbs my sleep. Well, that's what an alarm is meant to do. May I strongly encourage every pastor, every leader listening to me, everyone with meetings in your home, everyone who has influence in the lives of other believers, may I urge you to sound the alarm. If you haven't been sounding it for years now, please sound the alarm here. The church in America desperately needs awakening. The church in America desperately needs to turn to God in a fresh way. Thank God for those with hungry hearts, with desperate hearts who are going after God. But so many are content with the status quo, or they're just happy to go from one pasture ground to another where the grass always seems greener without recognizing something fundamental is wrong. It's almost like the cattle is happy to migrate from one place to another place. All the while, the wolves are coming and picking us off, and cattle's getting killed, but hey, we'll just go over to another place to graze. No, we need to sound the alarm. Our God is a great God. Our God is a great God. He's not worried. The wisdom and the power of God through the cross are infinite. And Jesus did say plainly that the congregation, the church he's building, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And many understand that in an offensive way, that it's God's people in Jesus marching forward, not in a militaristic takeover way, not to have dominion over everybody. We do it through service. We do it through sacrifice. We do it for speaking the truth. But we're going to be disciples, and we're going to take up the cross and come hell or high water, as people say. We're going to do what's right because God is with us. I love what Catherine Booth, co-founder with William Booth of the Salvation Army, said. The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under. I'm going over. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday. Our focus in particular on moral and cultural issues. And yes, I'm talking about why we need a revolution. To the phones, Patricia in Washington, D.C. We lost Patricia. Robin in Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for having me, and thank you for everything that you do. I'm just grateful for being able to be in a place where I can hear the word so strongly preached. I just want to thank you for bringing this to light, because there is a question of what can we do, how can we stop what is going on, and it's going to be through God, but it's also going to be through us, God using his people. So I'm like right on board with you.
Yeah, Robin, I appreciate it, and look, there are different strategies, but the biggest thing is individuals just really going after God and making themselves available. You know, sometimes when we just determine something as simple as, I want to make an impact for the gospel on my neighbors or fellow workers, that's where the rubber meets the road. We find out if we're ashamed of Jesus. We find out if we're willing to be associated with him. when we take a stand for a social moral issue, be it same-sex marriage or something else like that, or a children's education, and now suddenly people know who we are, and they're, hey, let's stand boldly. Those who oppose our values, those who oppose our gospel are standing boldly. If you go to England, you can see ads on the buses arguing for atheism, and you know they're quite bold about that. Islam is not ashamed. A Muslim woman's not ashamed to walk down the streets with her face covered and wearing a burqa. And yet we somehow think we just have to be, just kind of fit in. And maybe after 20 or 30 years, somebody will recognize that we're different.
Right. You know? Well, no, it's... My children, too. I'm worried for my children. I have young children who are getting ready to go to school, and I don't want them to think that it's okay. I don't need to preach to anybody that I'm a heterosexual, that I married a man. Who needs to know that? Nobody needs to know anybody's sexual orientation in school.
Yeah, and here's the other question. What does a 5 or 6 year old or a 7 or 8 year old understand about sexual desire?
Nothing.
Sexual drive.
Nothing.
Sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what if someone, some great leader in past history was actually a child lover? You know, we call it a pedophile. Are now is that important that we're now going to say, "Oh, we found out about Leonardo da Vinci." You know, as some would accuse, that he was actually involved with young boys, or is now that's an important part of history to celebrate? No, first it's embarrassing, and it's if true, ugly and perverse. But secondly, it's like, well, why is that now to be taught to children? You say, well, we won't teach that. We'll just teach that he was gay, right? Because you can't tell the rest of the story. But you know, I'm holding in my hand two books I just got in the mail today. One that got a lot of attention in recent months, My Princess Boy, a mom's story about a young boy who loves to dress up. And then another book that's got a picture of a boy wearing a dress. It's called 10,000 Dresses, and it's about all the different dresses that this boy loves to wear and how wonderful it is, and 10,000 different dresses, and there he is with his mom and or you know, another girl and him and so on. And that's just what it's about. And, yeah, we need to have sensitivity to kids who struggle with what would be called gender identity disorder. But you don't now remake society and remake laws based on that. Look, I had a guy, I mentioned this before, I was on another radio show doing an interview, and he called in, and he was very upset that I wasn't sensitive to, quote, transgender rights, by which he explained that if a man identifies as a woman and wears a dress, he should be able to use the women's bathroom because of transgender rights. I said, well, what about the rights of all the women? We get to this point of moral and gender insanity, and we need a revolution. More of the same will only produce more of the same. Therefore, we really go to God in our personal lives, and we say, here I am. How can I make a difference? And then little by little, the light that we have, we walk in it. By the way, do you have my revolution book, Robin?
I don't have it.
All right. Stay on hold, and I want to send you a free copy. So just give us your name and address. All right, we've got some other callers. Hang in there. On the other side of the break, we will gladly take your calls and discuss this further. For those leaving us now, I want to encourage you that light overcomes darkness, that truth overcomes lies. I want to encourage you that if we're walking with the Lord, we need not fear what's happening around us. We must wake up, though. We must be sober. We must be vigilant. There must be revolution, starting with me, starting with you, starting with our churches, starting with our leaders, and we must have it now. All right, to get a copy of my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, which will ignite a spark in you and stir your heart and change the way you think and the way you live, for whatever you can afford, your donation of any size, those who can be generous, wonderful. It will help those who can't be. Give us a call right now. I want everyone to get hold of this book, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 for your contribution of any size whatsoever. We want to send you the book, 1-800-278-9978. When you get it, read it and be charged and become a revolutionary, a Jesus revolutionary, for the gospel.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So last night, I started writing a chapter, which will be part of a book, God willing. Maybe the book will be called White Collar Christianity. It's just my holy burden against the status quo of just this proper Christianity, this proper churchianity that does not threaten the devil, that does not threaten the kingdom of darkness, that for the most part just fits in and majors on being nice more than it majors on bringing about change. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about why we must have revolution now. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. You remember what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12 when he's suffering persecution, even from his own family. People want to kill him. The end of the 11th chapter of Jeremiah, he complains that God's ways are just not right. And he, of course, he's going to argue it out with God. God's too strong and he's going to win, but Jeremiah's going to complain anyway. Some of our English translations soften it, but it's a pretty strong expression there in Jeremiah 12. And he's, look, the world's messed up, God. The world's messed up. People are sinning. There's a curse on the world because of that. And you're not doing anything. And God first responds strongly to Jeremiah before responding sympathetically by saying, hey, Jeremiah, if you're getting worn out here, how are you going to make it in the big city? If you can't handle it in Anatote, in your hometown, how are you going to make it in Jerusalem? In the familiar words, if you can't run with footmen, how are you going to run with horsemen? We right now need to be challenged afresh. We need to rise up in the courage of the gospel. Titus Brandsma, who was martyred by the Nazis, he was a Catholic Dutch leader, and he was martyred by the Nazis. Brandsma said, those who want to win the world for Christ must have the courage to come into conflict with it. I often quote the words of James Taylor, James B. Taylor, not the singer James Taylor, James B. Taylor from the 1800s, Christian leader then. I've often quoted these to our grads at our school of ministry. The world may frown, Taylor said. Satan may rage, but go on. Live for God. May I die in the field of battle. We're not talking about the Muslim mentality that says the radical Muslims, you love life, we love death. No, we love life also. In fact, it's good to love life. Psalm 34, quoted in 1 Peter 3, talks about loving life and wanting to see good long days. Long life is a gift from God. Blessed life in this world is a gift from God. I love life. I love getting up in the morning and going about doing God's work. I love the privilege of being married for 35 plus years and enjoying life with my bride, Nancy. I love spending time with kids and grandkids. I love quality fellowship with other believers. I love the challenge of reaching out to the world. I love life. Thoroughly enjoy it, but I don't love my own life. It's a sin to love our own lives because they don't belong to us. Here, suicide is wrong because our lives don't belong to us. So we're killing something, taking life that doesn't belong to us. Life and death are in God's hands. So in the same way, my life doesn't belong to me. Paul lays out clearly, writing to the Colossians, you've died, and your life is now hidden with Messiah and God. Writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he says that if one died for all, Jesus died for all, then we conclude that all died, and we died that we should now live for the one who died and rose for us. That the whole substance of my life, the whole substance of your life, is now living to do the will of God. And everything that we do feeds into that. Be it our family, be it our job, be it our private lives, everything feeds into the understanding I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm here to do the will of God. How can I bring about change through the gospel? How can I be a revolutionary? Not taking life, but giving my life to help others. Not with violence and anger and hatred and intimidation, but following the principles of Jesus, who says, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, reminding us that if we stand for righteousness, we go against the grain, and there is a price to pay. Who will stand up today and go against the grain? Will you join me? Will you join me?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I say it once more? I am really serious about moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. I've given my life to it. It is for me an expression of the gospel. It is for me an expression of what Jesus' people do in the earth through the methods of Jesus. It explains why the gospel going forth in the book of Acts was such a threat to the religious establishment, was such a threat to the world system, was such a threat to the kingdom of darkness. I would dare say that a lot of our preaching, a lot of our teaching, a lot of our ministry, a lot of our personal lives are not much of a threat to hell. We kind of have a peaceful coexistence agreement. You don't bother me, and I won't bother you. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. All right, before I go to the phones, just spotted some news items reminding us that we really need revolution. Denver has more pot stores than Starbucks, nearly 300 locations in Denver. How about that? Or how about this? Sex selection problem growing worldwide. The priority is to eliminate girls. The effects of three decades of sex selection in different parts of the world are becoming alarmingly apparent in China, India, Korea, and Taiwan. The first generation shaped by sex selection has grown up, and men are scrambling to find women, yielding the ugly side blows of increased sex trafficking and bride buying. Yikes. We've got some real problems, friends, surrounding us. We are God's answer. God is going to work through you and through me. But to repeat more of the same will only produce more of the same. We need a revolution. 866-34-TRUTH. Jakob in Bergen County, New Jersey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, this is Jakob. You're talking about a revolution?
Yes, sir.
I believe it is almost impossible. You know why?
Tell me.
A few days back, you said, what can we learn from gay whatever?
Gay activists.
Gay activists, right. You know what? How I see them? I see them united. I see them determined. And I see them, they have an agenda. And
yes.
I see the church so divided. Hardly anyone is listening. How can we have a revolution in such a condition?
Yeah, it's a great point, Jakob.
I believe the real thing is that we should unite. Once we unite, you know who will be among us? The Eternal One will be among us. That's when we will have power. This is what is missing.
So,
and I'm burning inside. I can see you, and I'm a small nothing in nowhere. But, you know, the foundation is wrong. We have to unite. The world is uniting against Christ. And what are we doing?
Right. So let me just jump in and say a few things. Yeah. Obviously, it's the great prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. And the world must see that we love one another. And yes, the Holy Spirit dwells in the midst of unity, and we understand that the anointing of God is present in the midst of unity. I'll just say a few things, though. Number one, although we may perceive tremendous unity in the homosexual community, there still is, it's not like everybody is doing the same thing or they're getting orders from headquarters. It's just that the gay activists in particular really push forward well, and the media is very much, the liberal media, very much fueling their message and getting the fire out. And of course, they all identify a certain way, therefore there's that level of unity. But on the flip side, we all identify as followers of Jesus. And to me, while I pray for unity and work towards unity, and that's why I don't go attacking leaders and pastors and trying to tear down, rather to encourage and build up. I don't hear you saying anything critical in that way at all. Not at all. I'm agreeing with you. But yeah. here's what's important to me. I know that a small remnant joining together, going after the Lord, can make a difference. And rather than waiting for the day when the whole church becomes one, what we have to do is take whatever steps we can and unify with people of like heart. But you're absolutely right, sir, that there must be a joining of hearts before the Lord. My hope is that as pressures rise in the society, as things get worse and worse around us, that will help believers wake up, and through waking up, will then say, we've got to work together. We've got to go past some of our differences. Hey, Jacob, thank you, though, for calling. A very important point.
Can I say something else?
Yeah, just very quickly. Go ahead.
I am a preacher. I preach in New York City, in the heart of New York.
Mm.
An incident happened to me. This guy stood, two guys, one on my right, one on my left, and the sign says, Jesus is fake. Four of them.
Mm.
Touching me. And I'm trying to speak quick. In about half an hour this happened. No one ever bothered. One person called police. Mm. When he came back to me with two police officers, I'm making a long story short, I asked him, what is your faith? You know what he told me? I am an atheist.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, sir, by the time you called the police officer, you saw what was happening. Thousands of so-called Christians passed by me. You are 100% better than them in the sight of God.
Yeah.
Even though he's an atheist.
Yeah,
what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
whatever happened to us, we don't care.
Understand.
We don't care.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, I'm sorry to cut you off there. But listen, brother, keep honoring Jesus. Love the brothers and sisters. Work with whoever you can to be an example of unity. And let us continue to pray for awakening. Steve in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon, sir.
I would like to just throw out a challenge to your particular call for revolution.
Surely.
I understood, you know, down through the years that there are opposing points of view when it comes to structuring the larger society in
mm-hmm.
accord with Christian principles. Some of the opinions are that that's not the role of a Christian. We're not called to remold society along certain Christian principles. We're called to preach the gospel because singling out a sin, going after it, having a crusade, everybody sins, and there's only one solution, and that's the salvation that Christ offers. So
mm-hmm.
I take a different point of view on this so-called revolution to restructure the larger society. That's not the answer.
Well, can I ask you a question for clarification?
Sure.
Explain the nature of the Great Commission. Is it to bring people to salvation or to make them into disciples?
Well, you mean the Great Commission that Christ gave to
yeah.
go into all the world?
Yeah, and do what?
And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son.
Right, well, you left, right. But what does it say? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
So the Great Commission is to go and make disciples.
Mm.
Did disciples live differently than the world?
That's true. But
all right, that's my revolution right there. Go and make disciples. Disciples live differently. Disciples will eradicate slavery. Disciples will eradicate segregation. Disciples will eradicate abortion. Disciples will eradicate same-sex marriage, and they'll do it in the power of the Spirit as people are changed and as we live godly lives in the midst of a godless society. That's my revolution.
Right. Well, I'm just throwing out an opposing point of view.
I appreciate that, but my point is when people are saved, they should live differently. We should see an ethic in the business community. If we have Christian leaders in the business community, we should see an ethic in terms of dealing with hunger and poverty. We should see an ethic in terms of 100 other issues, in terms of how we live as disciples. And Jesus did call us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So it was because of people rightly understanding the gospel that slavery was abolished in the British Empire in America. As people rightly follow the Bible and understand the sanctity of life, we'll care for the innocent. And how can we claim that we're followers of Jesus? Here, James chapter 1, true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to care for and visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So there I'm engaging in social action to help people in need as part of the gospel. So I'm all with you, Steve, that I'm not trying to take over society and think that we are now going to take over and enforce Christianity on people. Absolutely not. I just say that the gospel going into the world with disciples living it out will have a revolutionary impact.
So isn't the gospel, the gospel is that Christ is the answer, not trying to mold society into a more moral, an ethical form.
Well, first, he is the answer, which means he brings change. That's why I haven't shot heroin in 40 years or had a drink in 40 years. And, as for outward sins I was involved in, because when I met him, everything changed. And as the light of the world, we're the ones that are supposed to bring a moral conscience to the society. And if we don't, society will wander. Hey, I'm up against a break, but I very much appreciate the call and sharing the perspective. It's a conversation we need to have. Back with more. Hey, hang on, Linda, Sandy, Donald. I will get to all of you on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I do not want to live my whole life and look back and think I could have, I should have, if only. No, I want to go for it. I want to go for it. I want my life to count for the Lord. I want to make a difference. I want to find out the realities, the power, the potential of God working through a human being for his glory to see Jesus exalted and society impacted. I want to see the ultimate potential and not just sit back with idle excuses or some false wisdom or burned by the past. No, by God's grace, I want to go for it. I know your heart burns for the same. 866-34-TRUTH, talking about why we must have revolution. Linda in Galveston, Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
First of all, Dr. Brown, I want to thank you for your ministry, and I want to tell you that this, your ministry alone is such a hope in my life, and I'm asking Christ right now to give me the words to speak because there's so much I would love to say to you and have a conversation about, but I'm hoping that he's going to touch others with this.
Well, thank you so much,
I have a
Linda.
Daughter. Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. I have a daughter that's 33 years old. She's been living the life of a homosexual since she was 19, 20 years old. And I have been hurt, crushed, just devastated by it. But I can tell you that my daughter and I have one of the most loving, wonderful relationships there is because she, even though she's blinded with this lie, loves Christ with her whole heart. She's deceived. There's a lot of things still going on. But if I had to make a choice in standing out and speaking like I continue to do, to her friends, to anybody that will listen, to give them the truth, I would do that and not see my daughter again than to let her live a lie and just not speak a word. Because this isn't just about her life on this earth or her friends or anybody else that's choosing to live this lifestyle. This is about her eternal life, and yeah. I'm in battle for that. And the other thing I would encourage listeners to understand is it starts in our home. We raise our children up. I've got a 19-year-old that has been in the Word with me every night for years, and the difference in the way he's living and the world is living is profound. But I would tell you this, love your children with all your heart. Make sure that you are the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ. And I will not be silenced. I will not be afraid because I am battling not just for my daughter, but anybody else that I come in contact with for their eternal life. And when we're talking about this because she's wanting children, we need to also think that this isn't just this generation that's living this life. Mm-hmm. It's generations. But my God is a big God. I am full of hope. I'm excited. I'm moving forward. And I just want to tell you again that the ministry that you have is touching and saving lives because I know for myself, until I first heard your show, I don't know how long ago, I had Christ, but I was so under such a depression, it was broken off with one of your shows. And so we are the hands, the feet, and the voice of Christ, and we can't be silenced, and I won't be.
Well, bless you, Linda. I so appreciate that. And my heart overflows with hope in God and confidence in God. And I'm so glad that that you've been touched by it as well. For me, sounding the alarm is not hopelessness, because my hope is in God.
Yeah, I'm excited. Trusting.
Yeah, amen. And as for your daughter, the loudest message she needs to hear from you is that you love her, you love her,
oh,
you love
amen.
Her, and you are determined to see her whole in God. And friends, let's join Linda in praying for her daughter to get completely free, living for God. I'm sure some of you take a note.
We are gathered in his name, so shall I be. And I will express one more thing, because I know this is time limited. I realized one day that I kept speaking out about, oh, God, please deliver. Oh, God, please help her. Oh, God, whatever. And what I needed to be doing is just continuing to speak scripture into her life. I call her whole. I call her saved. I call her set free from this just nightmare of a lie. And when I understood that I needed to speak into her, I remember one day she was doing something, and I laid hands on her. She was doing a puzzle. And I was just praying over her in the spirit. And later on upstairs, she said, Mom, you know, sometimes you just lay your hand on me and you never say anything. And I said, oh, Courtney, I'm praying for your godly husband. I'm praying for your children, generations with curses broken off of them. I'm praying. And she just, the spirit of the devil himself came up. And she said, don't ever pray that for me. And I said, Courtney, because you know the truth. I said, you know the truth. Why would you be so afraid of me praying?
Yeah.
And so
you know,
I
Linda, I think it's important for listeners to recognize that we deal with those who know the truth differently than we deal with those who don't know the truth.
That's
an important factor here. Hey, grace to you and grace in your whole family. Appreciate the call so much. Donald in Yonkers, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown, and blessings to you. I stand alongside of you with an armor that is invisible, that cannot be seen, but it is more powerful than anything than you can imagine. And in meeting people and talking to them wherever they may be, and whatever mindset and worldview they have, God helps us to reach them with the marvelous truth of who he is, because he is everything.
Yes.
I'm with you, brother. And
I'm
a soldier, and I appreciate you.
Amen. God bless you, Donald. Thank you so much for the call. Hey, friends, some of you tuning in are not familiar with Christian language. You're not familiar with the idea of armor, soldier. We're not talking about Taliban kind of stuff. We're not talking about taking up arms like was done in the American Revolution. We're talking in spiritual terms. Just like you might talk about an athlete being a real soldier, you know, they tough it out, they fight it through. That's what we're talking about. And I want to urge you, everyone listening, don't be a pew sitter. Don't be a couch sitter. Don't be a sideline critic. Give your life to God afresh. Recognize that we're living in revolutionary times. Recognizing that this is the most urgent moral crisis in our lifetimes. A thousand different things. I'm not just talking about gay activism. A thousand different things happening in our society, and we need to wake up. The time is now, and God will be with us as we take a stand. Friends, get my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. It is the spiritual principles of Jesus. It's a radical book. It'll wake you. It'll shake you. You say, I don't have much money. Don't worry about it. Whatever you can afford, I want to send you the book. It's 330 pages. Those that can be generous and give more, awesome. Please do so. But for your contribution of any size whatsoever, I want to send you a copy, postage paid, of Revolution. Give us a call though right now at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for Revolution. Whatever you can afford, we want to send it to you. Your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. This book will light a fire in your life. Trust me. My bottom line for today, revolution means radical, dramatic, sweeping change. Revolution means out with the old, in with the new. Revolution is what Jesus came to bring, the kingdom of God transforming this world until he returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. Today, my friends, is the day of revolution. You've heard me talk many times about moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Today, I want to share with you why we must have a revolution. Oh, I'm serious.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm the child of three revolutions as I would look at it. First, the counterculture revolution of the 1960s. I got caught up in that as a 13, 14-year-old kid. Saw Jimi Hendrix in concert at the age of 13, started getting high at the age of 14. The whole rebellion, go against authority, generation gap, sex, drugs, rock and roll culture. I got caught up in that, shooting heroin at the age of 15. And then radically saved at the age of 16, that was revolution number two. I didn't know it was part of a revolution, but the Jesus People movement, the Jesus Revolution. I got radically saved then. Things changed dramatically in my life almost overnight. And I went from shooting heroin to spending hours with God and sharing the gospel with other people. My life dramatically transformed. And then, starting in the late 90s, God started to stir my heart again with the need for revolution. Yeah, I'm talking now 2011, and the wake-up call, the sound of the alarm, has been in my heart for decades, since I first started preaching in 73 and then stirred more deeply again in 82, 83, and has continued to burn with me. But this deeper sense of things have to change radically, that more of the same will only produce more of the same, that we need a more radical Jesus revolution that will impact society, not the way earthly societies, the world does it, not anger, not hatred, not intimidation, not violence, not force, but the Jesus methods of revolution. We must have a revolution now. It is not time to hope that next year will be better. It is not time to get excited because we had a good conference. It is not time to get excited because our growth in church was up 1% over last year. Thank God for all those things. But friends, everything is decaying so rapidly. Our society is under assault from so many different angles. I could get somebody on the air and they'd sound the alarm about Islam. I could get someone else on the air and they'd sound the alarm about the economy. I'd get someone else on the air and they'd sound the alarm about sex trafficking. I'd get someone else on the air or me and sound the alarm about gay activism. And someone else sound the alarm about 100 other issues. And they're grave and they're serious. And more of the same will only produce more of the same. We need a revolution. The good news is God is stirring hearts. The good news is none of us are alone in this. The good news is Jesus is at work. We have nothing to fear, but we must be sober. We must wake up. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? I wrote a chapter last night for a book. The book will probably be called White Collar Christianity when it comes out. But it's called Letter from a Frustrated Pew Sitter. I'll share some of this with you later, but I'm almost positive that as I read some of it, you'll yell, absolutely, that's me, that's where I'm at. Well, it's not time to get critical. It's not time to throw stones. It's not time to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's time for revolution. Oh, yeah. Radical, dramatic, sweeping change, starting with me, starting with my congregation, starting with my family, starting with you, starting with whoever it is we touch. Everybody can make a difference if they give themselves over to God unconditionally. 866-34-TRUTH. Feel free to differ with me if you have a different philosophy on this. Feel free to weigh in and say, hey, I'm standing with you. My heart beats the same way. 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You'll find resources online, free resources and resources you can purchase that are relevant to today's program. Friends, we're really serious about being a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. And that means change. Change is costly. Change is costly. You know, you can get some gimmick, take a pill, and lose all this weight. But unless you change your lifestyle, real change is not going to come in a lasting way. We will be back.
Cleansing flame, send the It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to make an observation, something I've been feeling in my gut, and then I read an article that was forwarded to me that confirms this. And I'm going to talk about New York in a moment, what's happening in New York with same-sex marriage. You know the Book of Esther with Haman. He gets promoted very highly in the king's court there in ancient Persia. But he's upset. He's upset because there's this Jew, Mordecai, who won't bow down to him. And until Mordecai bows, he is incensed. And I just felt in my heart that with the passing of same-sex marriage in New York, but with an exemption for religious groups, facilities, leaders, that they would not have to perform or be part of same-sex marriage. Doesn't mean they don't have to recognize it socially. You may be a committed Christian and you're a clerk and someone comes in for a marriage certificate, you're going to have to sign it. And I'd encourage people to do what's right. If they can't sign in good conscience, then let's God's people stand together. But that's how change comes. If you lose your job for righteousness, you do. Just count the cost first and think it through, work it through. But this type of nonviolent resistance is necessary to bring about change. But anyway, back to my point. I feel sure that because these religious exemptions exist, that gay activists will not be happy. That they will want, in that sense, Mordecai to bow. That they will want these religious groups, I'm not saying every gay person, but gay activists in particular, are not going to be happy with this. They will just say this is legalizing discrimination. And sure enough, I've already read an article saying, look at what still exists, and we have to undermine it. We have to bring about change. One side, the side that fought for gay liberation beginning in the late 60s, and it had been some years before that, but comes to prominence in the late 60s with the Stonewall riots in New York, one side is fighting for revolutionary goals to transform society according to its vision of what is best in equality and tolerance and no discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity. They are fighting for what they believe is best. They do. They want to see revolutionary change. And we just sit back and think having a nice church service is sufficient. It's not. We need a revolution. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. I'll say it again, awakening in the church, which then spills out into the streets. Awakening in the church, God's people being radically changed and going out as agents of change. Not trying to take over, but, excuse me, bring the influence of the gospel, the influence of light and truth into society. 866-34-TRUTH. Sandy in Manhattan, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Brown?
Yes, you're on the air.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a comment to make, but I just wanted to ask you a question first. In your opinion, what is the biggest issue in the same-sex marriage movement that's going on?
Okay, well, there are several things to it. First, it makes a moral, cultural statement that homosexual practice is perfectly fine, and that we should redefine marriage based on people's sexual orientation. It then says that marriage does not need to be the union of a man and woman, or it simply is the union of any two people. So it undermines the very meaning of marriage, which is two different people, a male and a female, coming together in biological compatibility and social and emotional compatibility with the possibility of reproducing for the next generation and having a kid joined to a mom and dad. So now that's fundamentally exploded, which also means that it's going to be much easier for two men or two women to raise a child. They may love that kid, but it's not in the best interest of a child to have two fathers or two mothers as opposed to a mom and a dad. It will also mean that in the schools, this will be taught as normal. You won't just be able to say, hey, kids, talk to your moms and dads. Yeah, touch your moms and dads. It's now normal. It's now legal. It'll also mean, even though you have religious exemptions in New York, that let's say you're an adoption organization like Catholic Charities in Boston, in Massachusetts, and say, hey, we don't want to give kids over to same-sex households. Will you give us a religious exemption? That's not currently covered. Catholic Charities in Massachusetts went out of business because of that. So these are just a few of the issues. But the biggest one is the fundamental redefining of the meaning of marriage further destroying the institution and importance of marriage and opening the door to even more people living together out of wedlock because marriage becomes actually less important, and opening the door to other expressions, polyamory, polygamy, consensual adult incest. As much as people say we're crazy, no, the media's already talking about this. People are already saying, hey, if gay marriage is okay, then what's wrong with these other things? So people can mock me for saying it today. Let's wait a few years and see what happens.
Right. The reason why I ask that question is because a lot of Christians, when you have a discussion about the same-sex marriage, homosexuality, that kind of stuff, their position is, sin is sin, you know. But what I find is that this homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and everything else that comes into that category, that the people who are involved, they don't think it's wrong. And when you don't think your lifestyle is a sin, you don't need redemption. You don't need salvation. You don't need forgiveness. So I find that the biggest problem in this lifestyle is that the people involved in it don't see it as a wrong. And when you don't see it as a wrong, you limit the power of God in your life. You don't need salvation. You don't need redemption.
Yeah. So, and certainly, Sandy, any of us can do that in areas of our lives that are displeasing to the Lord. Before I was saved, picture this. I'm shooting heroin. I'm using LSD. I'm, to my shame, even stealing money from my own father and thinking I was great, thinking I was cool. And God's conviction came on me because people prayed. And when conviction came, I realized I needed salvation. Let me say this, though, Sandy. I'm sure there are plenty of same-sex couples, and some are listening to me right now, and they're saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, and I'm just out of touch with reality, or I'm misinterpreting the Bible, or I'm just a bigot. And, you know, given time, people like me will be further marginalized. I'm sure there are those who feel that way. But there are others who've been raised in the faith or who just deep down in their hearts know something is wrong, and they're constantly battling that. And I know it because I've talked to many who have come out of homosexuality and talked to me about the battle that they fought. I heard a quote from one man who lived as, quote, a gay Christian for a while, and someone said, can you be gay and Christian? He said, not for long, meaning in his case that something deep down was telling him something is wrong. So I think we need to really pray. In fact, I'm sure of it. Pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to come on those who've heard the gospel, those who know the truth and are running from it, those who are trying to shout louder to cover up the pain that's on the inside, that the mercy and love of God would flood their lives after they're deeply convicted of sin. And that's where we as the body have to be embracing of people that come in their brokenness, they come in their confusion. They may even come in still out and proud, but inwardly something's happening on the inside. If we can be a loving, caring community that'll live it out with people, walk through the tough times with them, and help them find wholeness and true repentance in God, people will be drawn to us. Otherwise, where will they go? They'll run back to the gay community that embraces them. So you're right, Sandy, and that's why we really have to pray for conviction to come. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, where to go? There's so much happening in our society all around us. Every single day I have news items sent to me by friends and colleagues, sometimes 10, 20, 30 a day. And most of them dealing with issues of gay activism because they know the calling that God laid on my heart, reach out and resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. And here I just on my desk just came in today. Let's see, three books, Gender Born, Gender Made, Raising Healthy Gender Nonconforming Children. And it's got a picture of a looks like a boy in a girl's dress, or maybe you can't tell because his pants also. And yeah, there are kids struggling. There are real issues, but we're talking about now transforming society based on the problems that a few people have. I'm holding in my hands two children's books, My Princess Boy, that got a lot of attention a few weeks, few months back. So I finally got the book, A Mom's Story About a Young Boy Who Loves to Dress Up. And of course, this is being celebrated. If you see a princess boy, will you laugh at him? Will you call him a name? Will you play with him? Will you like him for who he is? Yeah, princess boy, now a good thing. New York Times reported recently that more and more parents across the country are raising their kids according to the kids' gender interests. So when that kid gets kindergarten age, they'll talk to the kindergarten principal, the principal of the school, the kindergarten teacher, to work out an arrangement so that Johnny can come to school dressed as Jane, and the school have to get used to it. I'm holding another book in my hands, 10,000 Dresses. That's right, 10,000 Dresses, and here's a little boy and all the dresses that he loves to wear. Yet these kids, these families have real need. But now, friends, this is the norm. Transgender is also something to be celebrated. Rather than us having compassion on those who are struggling, we are now told that we must embrace cross-dressing, we must embrace sex change surgery, and if we don't, we're bigots. Which says to me, we need a revolution, and we need it now. Do we not?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before the show, a few hours back, got an encouraging message sent to us on Twitter. I just finished reading A Queer Thing, Happened to America, out of 5 stars. I give it a billion. Thank you, recommending to everyone. Hey, I appreciate that. Put a lot of effort into the book. There's been a tremendous amount of prayer, people fasting for the book's impact and distribution. We're believing, God, together that it will help awaken the conscience of the nation. With God, it's possible. Otherwise, it's a joke to even think that way. I choose to trust God. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, talking about why we need revolution. So to state this again, all right, we were moving some stuff around our house the other day and trying to see what we could throw out. And Nancy just noticed some stuff that you might call gimmicky. You know, if you take this, maybe, you know, a vitamin to get more energy or that kind of thing. And stuff never seems to work. And we're remembering that many years ago. I only did it once, but I confess before the listening world that I did this. Yes, probably a little. Okay, am I red-faced, Randy? I'm smiling. Yeah, red-faced as well. Okay. I was flying and I saw this thing, this ad, and it was for for this cream that you would just put on your body, and it helped, like, with fat reduction. I was not, obese or something, but just, you know, a little chubby here, of course, didn't do anything. Probably didn't apply it rigorously enough. Now, to my credit, I stopped after using it a few times, and I got rid of it, and I never reordered it. But it's one of the more idiotic things I've ever done in my life. So I confess it with a red face. The fact is, that's what a lot of us want to do with the gospel. Just like put some cream on that'll just take care of everything. Just, we don't want to face the fact that the church is in a crisis and the world is in a crisis. God's not worried. God's not disturbed. God's not anxious. But we are in the midst of the most intense moral, spiritual crisis, at least in our lifetimes, perhaps in the history of America, but certainly in our lifetimes. Revolutionary change is happening in society all around us, while we just somehow think more of the same is going to bring about the necessary change. It won't happen. It can't happen. We need revolution in the church, radical change in our own midst, radical change in our own lives. I want to urge again, as I did the first hour of the broadcast in other parts of America, every pastor, every leader, everyone with influence over others, sound the alarm. It's an urgent time. Sound the alarm. Don't concentrate just on how to placate people and make them happy and make sure they come back next week. Sound the alarm and then say, hey, together we can make a difference. Together with Jesus, we can make a difference. All authority in heaven and earth is his. He is not intimidated. He's not afraid. Jesus was born into a hostile Greco-Roman world. The kingdom of God advances nonetheless. The purposes of God advance nonetheless. The worst the world can do is kill us. And Jesus said, hey, don't sweat that. Fear him only that can kill, destroy both body and soul in hell. So, friends, if people in communist China, Christians in communist China, and Christians in radical Hindu villages in India, and Christians in Muslim Iran are standing for the gospel and making a difference, surely we as God's people can awaken and make a difference. You say, what do I do? Well, get a copy of my book, Revolution. And in fact, whatever you can afford, get it, okay? It's a 330-page book. It'll be a life-changing book for you, but whatever you can afford, all right? If you can pay for the regular price for it, if you can send $50, you can send $5. I'm real serious. We'll send it to you postage paid. Get the book and let it light a fire in you. 1-800-278-9978. We've given away over 70,000 copies of this book. No hype. We've given away, in one day, in fact, over 70,000 copies of the book. Not through the airwaves, that'd be quite a feat, but at a massive rally in D.C. in September of 2000. But get a copy of this and let it light a fire in you and lay out some vision how change can come. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size will send you the Revolution book. But then your own private life, just you and the Lord, you and the Lord. God, here I am. I want my life to count. God, here I am. I want to make a difference. I want to go against the grain of this world. I want to swim against the tide. I don't want to be a critic. I don't want to be a cynic. I don't want to be a skeptic. I want to be an agent of positive change. And search your own heart out before him. Turn from sin, things that are displeasing. And as he works in you, you have a message. You have good news. You have the gospel. You have something that can radically change lives. Here I am. Send me. Use me. That's the beginning of being a world changer. 866-34-TRUTH. Rosalind in Atlanta. We lost Rosalind there. On the other side of the break, I want to read to you part of what I wrote last night, Letter from a Frustrated Pew Sitter. It's written by someone somewhere in America. Of course, I wrote it. But expressing the views, the feelings of people who are out there somewhere in America with these very sentiments. But can I ask you an honest question first? What's it going to take before you realize that we need revolution? How far do things need to go? How extreme do the changes in our culture need to go? It appears the absolutely horrific plague of abortion that we've had, wiping out 40, 50 million innocent children here in America, that hasn't been enough to awaken us. It seems that massive revolutionary change brought about by gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender activists has not been enough to awaken us. It even seems that the economic crisis, which at any moment could become terribly severe, that hasn't been enough to awaken us. What is it going to take to stir our hearts where we say, okay, I've got to change my lifestyle. I've got to change my orientation. I've got to change my whole sense of mission and purpose. We are not here, friends, primarily for a job, for a family, for an education. We are not here primarily to enjoy ourselves, although the blessing of God makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it, although he's richly given us all things to enjoy, quoting 1 Timothy and Proverbs. Yes, those things are true, but we are here on a mission to bring the gospel, to be world changers, to be salt, to be light. And because we have not pursued that vision, friends, we have not been revolutionary people. The good news is many of you have your hearts beating right now saying, listen, I'm in this. Count me in. I want to bring about change. Let me say again, it starts in your own life. There are people fasting. There are people praying. There are people believing. There are people standing. There are people making a difference. You can be one of them. I'm not giving an appeal now. Send me money. That's not my appeal. My appeal is go to God and say, Lord, here I am, heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, strength. Everything I have belongs to you. How can I be used? And walk in the light that you have. If you have a little light, walk in it. Take the steps that you have in obedience and you will see change come. I kid you not. I've watched it over and over. The word is true. The gospel is true. The spirit is real. Back with some excerpts from Letter from a Frustrated Pew Sitter.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So last night, my heart was burning. I was looking at books of mine on revolution, on Jesus revolution, on cultural change. I was looking at books about how the 60s counterculture revolution influenced our society. I was stirring against it. I don't want to be a four walls Christian. I don't want to be a four walls messianic Jew. I don't want to be someone whose faith is contained within some little box. I want to go out and bring about change for the gospel. And my heart was burning to write, but I didn't have release to write. I got on my knees. I began to pray and ended up writing a chapter, which will be part of a book, could be called White Collar Christianity. The chapter is called Letter from a Frustrated Pew Sitter. And as it's Wednesday here on The Line of Fire, our focus on moral cultural issues, I'm talking about why we need revolution now. If your heart is beating with me, give me a call at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org. If you click on The Line of Fire, you'll find a lot of resources relevant to today's broadcast. Let me read some of this to you. You'll catch on to what's in my heart here. Letter from a frustrated pew sitter, written by someone somewhere in America. Well, I don't really sit in a pew, or a church got rid of those years ago. Something about being outdated. Plus, we were told that we could get a lot more people into the building with chairs, so I'm actually a frustrated chair sitter, but you get the point. Now, to be honest, last week's Sunday service was really quite well done. The band was very tight, the singing inspirational, the sense of something happening, very real. At least that's how it seemed to me. And the pastor's message, as always, was wonderful, uplifting, funny, engaging, insightful, and with a good number of scripture references, too. I really learned a lot from the sermon, and I'm eager to hear the follow-up message next week. In fact, I believe this was just the first of a five-part series, so there's a lot to look forward to over the following Sundays. And I can't forget the fellowship time. It was great to see so many first-time visitors in our midst. They seem to really love the Lord and were so blessed by our service. And I never get tired of seeing my dear friends and catching up on life in the cafe. But deep down, something's bothering me. And after months of soul-searching, I'm ready to ask some hard questions. Is this really it? Is this what Jesus died for? Is this what he sent his spirit for? Is this the church he was talking about when he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Did he mean that the gates of hell will not prevail against the coffee hour? Or against the lovely message? Or against the highly choreographed worship time? Is that what he meant? More to the point, it seems like the New Testament gospel was dangerous. A threat to the kingdom of darkness. A threat to the world system. A threat to the religious establishment. Whereas the gospel I'm hearing in my chair, on Sundays is hardly dangerous at all. And to call it a threat, well, really now, a threat to whom? A threat to what? Jesus frequently warned his followers about persecution, assuring them that they would be treated the way he was treated. Yet these words seem so foreign to us today, living here in 21st century America. Imagine telling brand new believers that they might be killed for their faith, and that at the least they would suffer rejection and persecution. For good reason, they'd wonder what in the world you were talking about. But for the early followers of Jesus, not to mention many of his followers through the ages and in other parts of the world right up until this day, words like these were and are quite relevant. Matthew 10, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? John 15, Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Of course, I'm not looking for trouble, and I'm happy to keep my name out of the latest edition of Fox's Book of Martyrs, but something just isn't lining up. Who would want to persecute a nice church like ours? Who would find our pastor's inspirational and oh-so-practical sermons to be dangerous? Under no circumstances could they be called subversive or undermining or revolutionary. And yet it seems the message and lifestyle of Jesus and his first followers were called those very things. Why?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, revolution is not a cheap word. Revolution's costly. Think of our founding fathers. Think of Patrick Henry's famous speech as the Revolutionary War had begun and things looked dire for America. And it looked just best to cave in and capitulate and say, hey, we give up. Patrick Henry said, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. That's the revolutionary spirit. We too must have a revolutionary spirit, but not taking up arms against our enemies, not going the way of rebellion, not appealing to anger or hatred as the world often does, but following the principles of Jesus, who was the most revolutionary human being who ever walked this earth. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but just want to share quickly an email that I received. Dear Dr. Brown, I'm a regular listener of your show, and a few weeks back I heard that your organization would be sending your new book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, out to elected officials. Yes, exactly. We're doing this as folks have generously contributed funds to help us make copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America available to send out to elected officials, Christian leaders, and others. He said, I wanted to ask if it's possible to send your book to my brother, a newly elected California assemblyman. Here's a shocking article that came out today. And he refers to, Patrick, or this regular listener, refers to the bill that was just passed in California. The Assembly approved it back in April, I think, and now the Senate approved it. Now it's just awaiting Governor Jerry Brown's signature. So it's something we've been talking about for months, where the state Senate has now made it mandatory. This is a bill put forward by Mark Leno, openly gay congressman, and the bill now mandates that there will be positive history taught about lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people in American history. So you're going to be learning about someone who, say, was a gay rights pioneer, and every kid in every school will be learning about these things. This will be mandatory. There can be no issue. There's no such thing as homosexual practice being immoral or wrong. You can have no objection to it. This is something to be celebrated, something to be applauded. If so-and-so happened to struggle with their gender identity and was a cross-dresser, that now needs to be put in. So-and-so made a great contribution to our history. And by the way, this person was transgender, or as we would have said in the past, a cross-dresser. I don't say that to demean those struggling. I say that to say this is the moral gender insanity that we're facing, to the point that California schools have already had classes where a man comes in and talks about, you know, transgender clownfish, and they can change from male to female. And some of you may be a boy in a girl's body, a girl in a boy's body, or both, or neither. This is already in the schools. That's why we need a revolution. That's why we can't just think, well, just keep doing the same thing. No, the same thing's going to get the same results. I did an interview for Family News and Focus about a school in Sweden, talked to you about it on the air a couple weeks ago. And the school in Sweden does not identify kids as boys or girls, calls them friends, teaches genderless vocabulary, genderless lifestyle. And hey, a boy may want to play with trucks, but they're also going to expose them to dolls and girly things and so on, with the hope that it'll free the kids. Nonsense. I was asked, is this going to come to America? So it's already in America. Park Day School in Oakland, New York Times reported a few years ago that they line up kids by sneaker color rather than gender, that the teachers are taught a gender-neutral vocabulary, and that the school's director said, we let kids move back and forth until they feel comfortable somewhere. Preschool right here in Charlotte, I've talked about it many times because one of our students at our ministry school was teaching there, and she was not allowed to address the kids as boys and girls. Said she had to call them friends because she couldn't make a gender distinction, and she was supposed to read books to them. You know, the Heather Has Two Mommies kinds of books, and now stacks of books like that I personally own. They're just out there in abundance. I spoke at a major rally in the year 2000, and someone gave me, a family activist gave me a copy of Heather Has Two Mommies and said, it's very hard to get hold of this book. Now you get the 10th anniversary edition, came out a few years ago, and many, many other books like it, and books like My Princess Boy, A Mom's Story About a Young Boy Who Loves to Dress Up, and 1,000 Dresses About a Boy and All the Different Dresses He Likes to Wear. I'm holding both of these books in my hand, just got them today. We need a revolution, and has to start in the church, has to start with us. 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Cumming, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, good afternoon to you, and I so enjoy your show. I wanted to ask you back in the, because it sounds like you're a straight shooter, and I wanted to ask you back in the Jesus era, if you will, right after he passed and during his ministry, do you see, because you also referenced in your show, I've heard a couple times where you used the reference, you know, Elijah was a man like us, and he prayed for three, you know, and it didn't rain for three years. My question is, are there any miracles actually happening today that are legitimate, as in not the Ernest Angley coming on the stage and, you know, now I can hear, now I can't hear, now I can't. I mean, actual deformity stretching out, people being raised from the dead. And my question is, was that just for the dispensation during that time of Jesus on the earth and right after he rose again? And yet we don't see it today. Not that we need a generation of signs, but, you know, you're talking about a revolution, and you've been talking about that over the past several weeks. And my thought is, number one, we're not going to have any revolution unless something drastic happens to us financially or physically or puts a scare into us that causes us to make a change. Because if there's nothing to cause us to make a change, we're just going to go along the same old path. And the early church had such a
Jim,
fire.
Jim, let me just jump in and answer your question. Number one, I'm seeking to sound the alarm on the air, and others are in different settings, so that we don't need an economic collapse to wake us up or something worse happening. By God's grace, people are waking up, and I want to stay awake and stay alert and help sound the alarm and help others get awake if they're not right now. So, it could be that a total collapse has to happen, but I hope that's not the case. But in answer to your question specifically, John 14:12, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, the universal promise, whoever believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to the Father, which would mean that he would send the Spirit and be interceding for us. James, Jacob, the fifth chapter, which is just given as general counsel for believers for all time. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And on. There is no indication whatsoever within the New Testament that the gifts and power of the Spirit were just for then. I have no issue with Jesus doing extraordinary miracles on an extraordinary level as the kingdom of God is coming with power into the earth, and the book of Acts having a special exclamation point. But there's documentation of miracles like that through history. And without question, Jim, there are miracles like that taking place today around the world. Sick are being dramatically healed. Demons are leaving people. Blind eyes are opening. Dead are even being raised. And I would say the great, great, great majority, 99.999% of it, you won't see on TV, which is probably a good thing. A dear friend and colleague, Reinhard Bonnke, preached with extraordinary miracles all over Africa for years. And we've seen the fruit firsthand visiting over there, Bonnke. That's spelled correctly. A former student of ours, Dan Kalenda, is now preaching these same meetings as Reinhard Bonnke is turning things over to him more and more, and the same miracles are happening. And, of course, all over America, people are being touched. Let me say this. There's a lot of flaky stuff, no question, a lot of false reports, but a lot of very genuine things happening. That must be part of the revolution. In other words, God coming in power is going to stir a whole lot of things. 866-34-TRUTH. Charles in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for having me on, Dr. Brown. My question involves, the kind of revolution, when you're talking about revolution, you're talking about a cultural change, a nationwide change, repentance and things, and the only times I've ever heard of that happening in the United States is like the first, second, third great, great awakenings, which were termed classic revivals, where they affected large geographical areas all at once, I'm not so sure that Americans as a people, since they've corrupted themselves over the last 50, 75 years, the majority of the American people are not going to do it, but the church you know, they're almost as bad. I mean, the divorce rate is 50%. I'm not trying to be negative against the church. But what I'm trying to say is that maybe the people that are going to church that think they're Christians because they acknowledge and agree with truth and they base their belief on that, maybe they don't have a belief that is based in, like you keep talking about, obedience to the truth. They just,
yeah,
you know, agree with it. Like when you get a college degree, you're full of knowledge, but you don't have any experience.
Yeah, and Charles,
an architect, unless you have experience. See?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I've just got a break coming up, but there's no question that the awakening has to begin in the church. That there are many going to church services who really don't know the Lord. There are others going who are in a very compromised state because that's what they're surrounded with, and others who just need fresh fire in their lives. Amen. The awakening revolution begins with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focused today on why we need revolution, why we need it now. Just a little excerpt from a chapter I wrote last night called Letter from a Frustrated Pew Sitter. It was so common for early believers to be arrested for their faith that the writer of Hebrews exhorted his readers to remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who were mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Not meaning incarcerated criminals, although that kind of prison ministry is certainly important, but rather incarcerated believers. That's why he mentions at the end of his letter that our brother Timothy has been released. Yes, just for your information for the believers there, Timothy's out of jail now, could be coming your way, so take good care of him if he visits you. That was life in the early church, and it was anything but tame. It meant swimming against the tide and going against the grain. It meant, Philippians 1, becoming pure, blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. The darkness does not appreciate the light. And living like this meant, Philippians 1 again, it has been granted for you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. But of course, that's all part of the counterculture gospel, the self-denying, Satan-defying, lust-abstaining, sin-confronting, flesh-abhorring, world-deploring message and lifestyle of Jesus and his people. Just saw a note. Dear beloved and prayerful Dr. Brown, please kindly pray for my ministry work among Hindu and unsafe people in our area. I need your prayers. I accepted Lord Jesus Christ through your message at the time you visited Vishakhapatnam in India 2006. I am heart fully preaching word of God to unknown people in our place and do the ministry work from that day when I accepted Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and King through your message. Now I found your wonderful website. Please pray for my family and ministry work. Glory to God. Hey, friends, that's revolution. That is revolution. In other words, you're in a Hindu area, you get saved, and now you go and preach the gospel where it's not been preached, and you might lose your life for it. You see, our message so fits in with our culture and so affirms our culture as opposed to being counterculture through Jesus. We've got to wake up to this reality, friends. Preachers, teachers, pastors, leaders. Our goal is not to make everyone fit and get comfortable, but to bring a life-changing, world-changing, flesh-denying message into this world that truly liberates and brings people into freedom. Don in Cleveland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks, Dr. Brown. I just want to mention I am a BRSM alumni.
Oh, great. That's alumni, for those... Yeah, for those who don't know, that is Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, the school that we led in Pensacola from 1997 to 2000. Thanks. Good to hear from you, Don.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. One thing I just wanted to mention, church this past Sunday, we had a guest speaker, fellow from regional director of Campus Crusade for Christ, and he said something that just impacted me. And he said that a friend of his, when he was in college, the first thing that happened, he came into his dorm room, and his roommate came out to introduce himself and said, "Hi, my name is what I'll just say Dan." And the first thing out of his mouth is, "I'm a homosexual."
Mm.
And this guy's friend said he was so convicted. He said, "Look at this guy who is so proud of his homosexuality. He's so proud of who he is, and here I am." Carrying the truth that the entire world needs, and yet I'm I'm nowhere near this up front with my faith. And that was, he just said that was, used that to say a call to the church. We need to be bold with who we are and what we have and not hide it. And so that just along the line of revolution, that just is a call for us as a church. We can take a lesson from the homosexual community. They're
absolutely
as bold as they are. Why can't we be that bold?
Right. Why? And I've taught on that, preached on that as well. One of the things we can learn from the homosexual community, they're out and proud for something that we would ultimately say is destructive and contrary to God's will and purpose. And some of us are ashamed of Jesus. Mind-boggling. Hey, Don, grace to you. Nice to hear from you. Thank you for calling. Robin in southern New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. A little short on time, so please dive right in.
Okay, Michael. Just wanted to let you know that in today's edition of the Philadelphia Inquirer, there were four, count them, four stories focusing on the homosexual issues and topics.
All right, now hang on. Philadelphia Inquirer, this is not a gay newspaper. This is just your regular...
No, this is a mainstream daily in Philadelphia.
Mainstream daily, and four different stories. So
four different stories.
What were the four stories?
There was one on an outreach to black gay men. There was another story about gay people finding each other and living together and having relationships in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. There was another story about how sperm donors and artificial insemination is making it harder and harder for families to track genealogy, because that's why a lot of these children are being conceived that go into gay marriages or gay families, gay or living arrangements. And then, of course, what you just mentioned about the legislature in California just passing the law on putting it in the curriculum. So, I mean, in one edition of one mainstream metropolitan daily newspaper, four stories on gay issues.
How many have you seen in the last week or the last month that were talking about people coming out of homosexuality who are no longer gay, or talking about the reasons that people don't support same-sex marriage? How many articles like that do you remember seeing? Yeah. No surprise. Listen, secular media is slanted very strongly in one particular way. In A Queer Thing Happened to America, the Hollywood chapter really lays it out in detail. And one newspaper editor told me that although journalists want to be unbiased, if they feel something is like a civil rights issue or a righteousness issue, that they'll champion that cause. So for them, they've bought into the lie that this is a civil rights issue, that this is the new oppressed minority. And it's an extraordinary thing to see happen in front of your eyes, but
yes,
it's happening.
It is,
and we need a revolution. Robin, thank you so much for calling, and may God stir believers in Philadelphia. Look, friends, I'm not making this up. This is not something I went looking for. This is something that has come knocking at our doors. And it's not just gay activism. It's a host of other issues. And the problem, I'll say it again, the big problem in our society is not the presence of darkness. It's the absence of light. It's wake-up time for us. Time for us to go after God afresh. Time for us to reevaluate how we do church, how we live, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and say, Lord, let the revolution begin with me. Please get a copy of Revolution, The Call of Holy War. This book will light a fire in your life. Just someone posted on Facebook and said since they read the book, it just transformed them years back. It's a 330-page book. We know funds are limited for some. Others of you have an abundance. Whatever you can afford, we'll send you the book. Your gift of any size, we'll send it to you postage paid. That's how much I want to get this into your hands. That's how much I know it will impact your lives. Those who can be generous and help others that don't have, that's awesome. Call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. That is 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, we'll send you the book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, friends, we have no choice. Revolution is not just another option. We must have revolution or society collapses around us, and the name of Jesus is dishonored. This is the day. This is the hour. Let's take hold of God and rise up and be counted.